amen. If you are happy to be among the living, I say hallelujah. Can you jam your hands together, clap for Jesus? I want you to know that many slept last night, but there were not opportunity to see this morning. I want you to know there are many people that started this journey with us 2024 that shouted Happy New Year 2024, 1st of January. But as I speak to you this morning, many are nowhere to be found. And for you and I to be alive this morning, it is not because we are too handsome. It is not because we are too beautiful. It is not because we are too intelligent. It is by the mercy of God. It's by the mercy of God. I want you once again to use your hands to celebrate Jesus. For the life you gave to us, we come to say thank you. For your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. I just want to say,
I want to say,
I wanna say,
Baba, oh,
Baba, oh.
thank you this morning. If the whole body is full of mouth, if our body is full of mouth, it will not be enough for us to express our gratitude. It will not be enough for us to express our appreciation. Daddy, for all that you have done for us, we say, receive our thanks. For all that you have done for us, for counting us among the living, we say, may your name be lifted up in our lives. May your name be lifted up in this ministry, Bright Assembly. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for making us to see this day. Heavenly Father, we are committing today's fellowship in your hands. From the starting of this fellowship to the end of the fellowship, may your name alone be glorified. May only you and you alone be seen. And at the end of it all, may we have a recall to serve the truth. You have done a great thing in our lives. Thank you because you know you have done it. In Jesus' name we pray. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit yet. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Amen. Amen. Okay, I have two reasons why I say you should not sit down yet. One, I want to look at your neighbor and just smile or laugh. Are you laughing or you are smiling? Which one do you prefer? Is it to laugh or to smile? Okay, you are doing both. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, now that you have done that, the second thing I want you to do for me before you sit down, ask your neighbor, are you aware that we're having family meeting today? Oh, please, I would love your neighbor to answer you. What did he say? That means your neighbor should be intelligent too. As for me, I didn't even know that we're having family meeting today. Ask your neighbor again, are you sure you know we're having family meeting today? Praise God. Praise God. Do you know, as the year is coming to an end, every true mother or every true father, what does he do? He call for family meeting. Am I correct? He call for family meeting. Today, Sunday school is going to be a special one. And I want to officially announce to you that what we are going to do this morning is nothing but family meeting. Amen. I want to ask, now being that we're having family meeting, that means I'm not the only person that's going to be talking, because in a family meeting, everybody has something to supply. Am I correct? Everybody has something to say. But I want to ask, what is the name of our family meeting? What is the name of the son name of this family? Can you shout it if you know it? What is the name of the family meeting? Lord Jesus Christ. That is the name of this family meeting. Amen? I hope you know I'm your family member. I hope you know I'm your family member. And the reason why you say I'm your family member is because the blood that runs in me runs in you. If truly you are born again, I'm born again, we are brothers and we are sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for that reason, for that purpose, there is a need for us to talk as brothers and sisters. And from this family meeting, you will know where you are doing it wrong. I will know where I'm doing it wrong. And at the end of it all, thank God that 2025 is coming. At the end of it all, we are expected to put our family in order. Tell yourself, I will not be a rebel. Tell yourself, I will not be a stubborn child in my family. All right, celebrate yourself by sitting down. Sit down and God bless you. Okay, I want to specially thank God for the wonderful teaching that we receive on Friday, Covenant Vision. Thank God for the grace of God upon the life of our pastor, Pastor Olumide David Jesus. It was wonderful. I don't know how many of you learned so much from that teaching. I learned a lot from that teaching. But he used that teaching to prepare us for what is ahead of us in 2025. Praise God. Praise God. I say praise God. Remember, we are in a family meeting. Am I correct? So in this family meeting, you don't expect me to be going to the altar. I want to be with you. So I'm just a teacher. I'm just a moderator. So I'll be asking you questions. You'll be answering me. We'll be talking together because it is a family meeting. Once again, I appreciate God by clapping your hands. Now, the topic of this family meeting is an imperfect church. An imperfect church. That is the discussion. That is what we are going to discuss this morning in this family meeting. An imperfect church. Please, I need a mic. Can somebody tell us from a brother? Can somebody tell us what he understands by the word imperfect? When you hear the word imperfect, remember it's a family meeting, so we'll be talking together. Can anybody help us out? Who has an idea of what an imperfect or imperfect means? Somebody's raising his hand there, please.
So praise the Lord. My understanding, I can say that imperfect means something that is not correct. Something that is not in order, that need to be corrected.
Okay, please, can you come again? Sorry.
I say that for my own understanding, I can say that imperfect means something that is not correct, something that needs to be corrected.
Praise God. Can you appreciate this, our family member? He is very intelligent. I appreciate your brother. He's very intelligent. Something that is not correct. You are perfectly correct. Praise God. So when you talk about an imperfect, when you talk about an imperfect, if you want to write, an imperfect simply means something or someone. So I will not be using something. I will be using someone. Okay. Someone that is flawed or someone that is incomplete in one thing or the other. That is the definition of an imperfect. Another definition of an imperfect means someone that is not free. Someone that is not free from defects. Someone that is not free from defects. If someone is not free from defects, when we say defects, we are looking at something that makes something not to be correct or not to be completed. And such is referred to be imperfect. And in a family like this, there are some certain things a brother or an attitude or a character a brother will exhibit. From that character or from that attitude that a brother will exhibit, you will know that this character this brother is exhibiting shows that this brother or this sister is not perfect. Praise God. And there is a prayer Jesus prayed. Jesus said, be ye perfect. Even what? Even as your heavenly Father is what? Is perfect. So which means that perfection is possible. No matter the situation of the country, no matter what is going on in the country, Jesus has prayed that prayer, and I believe with the whole of my heart and with the Holy Ghost in us, we can walk to perfection. And coming 2025, the Lord expects you and I to be perfect in what we do or in dealing with our family, brothers, and sisters. Praise God. Now back to the sister. Now we have known the meaning of imperfect. Okay, let me give you another definition of an imperfect. Another definition of imperfect simply means that someone that does not meet a standard of perfection. Someone that does not meet a standard of perfection. So which means there are standards that when someone meets that standard, then you cannot refer that person, you cannot refer that brother, that sister to be perfect. And God himself is guided with principles. God himself is guided with laws. And being guided with principles and law, he expects you and I in this family member to do everything possible to to meet that standard. And unless you meet that standard, unless I meet that standard, then I cannot be referred to being perfect. Praise God. Now that we have known the meaning of perfect, or imperfect rather, can a sister tell us what he understands by the word church? We're looking at an imperfect church. Any sister has idea what church is? It's a family meeting. Can anybody help us out? I believe we have sisters who are intelligent in their family. Amen? Amen? You are not responding. I say amen. Amen. Can any sister? Okay, if Nelson or no sister are raising hands, we'll move to the brother. Any brother has idea? Any sister? Okay, sister, where is he? Thank you. I know we have a sister in our family that is brilliant.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
A church is simply a place or a gathering of like-minded people having one vision. The people come together to have one vision. They have one purpose. So like-minded people that worship or walk towards a goal under a coverage.
Hallelujah. Can we appreciate this, our sister? Praise God. I want to borrow that word that he used. People. People that are working to achieve a purpose. And that is what church is all about. So when you look at church, or when you're looking at the meaning of church, you're not looking at the building. The church you are talking about is you and what? And I. It is you and I that make up a church. Praise God. And now that we have known the meaning of imperfect and church, now let's look at what makes a church to be imperfect. And when you look at a church to be imperfect, you look at it in two points of views. You look at it in two perspectives. The first perspective is what is obtainable in a particular church that is not obtainable in other church. That is one point of view that makes a church to be perfect. That is, for instance, Bride Assembly Church, it is a restored church. I expected you to clap your hands now. Or you don't know. Bride Assembly is a restored church. What makes it a restored church? It is not because of the numbers of the prophets we have. What makes Bride Assembly a restored church? It is not because of the beautiful auditorium we have. What makes a Bride Assembly a perfect church or a restored church? It is not because of anything you think or any whatever you think, but it is a church that have restored back to the world, to the Bible. That is what makes it a perfect church. So any church, irrespective of the numbers they have, irrespective of how many there are in that church, as long they have not respond back to the Bible, such church is referred to be imperfect. And when we say restored church, what makes it a restored church? One, it is because we believe the totality of the word of God. It is what we see in the scripture. It is what we see in the Bible that we practice, that we carry out. And that is why it is referred to be a perfect or a restored church. Another character of Bride that makes it a restored church, that makes her a restored church, is that we don't believe denominations. Praise God. We are not an assembly or a church that believe in denomination. What is denomination? Denomination, it is beyond a church having local branches. It's part of the definition of denomination. Denomination is beyond that. One of the things that makes it really a denomination is that it does not allow the leading of the Holy Spirit, but rather it allows the leading of man. So which means that denomination is under the leadership of men, not the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You may not understand that concept until you are from denomination. I am born and brought up in denomination. I remember one certain time I stood in an altar to minister. Immediately I stood in that altar to minister in denomination, Now, a message came to me different from what they have given me to preach. And you know, even when that message came to me, I walked down to one of the ministers, one of the pastors there. I said, please, this is what I'm receiving. This is what I'm hearing to say. The pastor quickly told me, you cannot go contrary to what you are given to do. Hallelujah. If you go contrary to what you are given to do, then as they call themselves, the general overseer will call your attention, brother, you are going contrary to what you are given. So which for you to know, it is no more under the leadership of God, but under the leadership of men. Now, men now dictates what to do and what not to do. And that is why I have to say it 100% that denomination, it is man's ideology. It is born up from man's intellectuality. It is born up from man's reasonings. It is born up from man's thoughts. And it is never a program that can progress the work of God. In fact, it is one of the dangerous things that has brought Christianity into bondage. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. I don't know how many of you watch the Ghana program on Friday. A Ghanaian was asking our pastor, he said, Daddy, I'm so much happy with your message. I'm so much glad with what God is using you to do. In fact, with your message, I'm now born again, I'm born again. I don't know how many of you listen to that. He asked our daddy a question. God will bless our daddy. Amen. I said, God will bless our daddy. He asked him a question. He said, Daddy, I'm so much happy that I was able to watch the television. And from the television, I was what? My eye opened. But Daddy, what about those that are in my village? Daddy, I'm seeing that there's a need that we should have branches all over the world so that my people in the village will do what? My people in the village will respond to this message. Trust my daddy now. Praise God. I was listening carefully to what my daddy would say. Do you know what he said? He said to the young man, he said, you cannot help God. I jump out. You can't help God. People believe that through denominations, they can help God. Denomination can never be a program that will help God. Instead, it will be a program that will destroy souls and souls. And my daddy went further to tell him, now that you have received the word, he said, go back to your village and do what? And shine the light. Hallelujah. He said, brother, go back to your village. And that is how it should be. Go to your village and shine the light. Don't wait until we open branches for you. And let me quickly balance something here. Listen and listen carefully. If there's any church, like some of our brothers in other states, you notice that some of them, they bear the name of our church. I hope you're aware. Oh, this family member, talk to me. Are you aware? They bear the names of our church. Some of them, they can bear Bride Assembly, Abia State, Bride Assembly, Anambra State. That name they bear does not mean that Pastor Moses, our overseer, have control over them. It doesn't. One of the dangerous things in denomination that they do what we call after the collection of tithes and offering, what happened? They send it to where? To the headquarters. So an headquarter can promote them, demote them, retire them, and do all manner of things to them. In here, in this assembly, our pastor is too busy to have time for that. Apart from too busy, he is too revelated to dictate to them what to do, what not to do. They only answered in fact, even Bride Assembly render hands of fellowship to this, our brothers and sister church. He does not have full control or control over them. Hallelujah. So you can see that Bride Assembly is a perfect church. We can say it over and over. There are many things that make it a perfect church. But that is not where I'm going to. Hallelujah. Now that we have learned that there are so many things that make Bride Assembly to be a perfect church, the question we are to ask ourselves now is, being a restored church, being a perfect church, good and fine, the question now we are to ask ourselves, this family that belongs to a restored church, are they restored? This family that belongs to a system that works in perfection, a system that believes the totality of the word of God. The question we are to ask ourselves, this family, are we restored? It is true and it is it is obviously that you can be in a restored church, you can be in a perfect church, but yet you yourself, you are not perfect. And that is the worst thing that could happen to a Christian. That is the worst thing that could happen to a believer, to be in a restored church, but yet you are not restored. My earnest prayer for every one of you listening to me and those that are online is that after this teaching, this family will be better in 2025. You are not saying amen. I repeat that prayer. I said after this teaching, you will learn something, I will learn something that will make this family to be better in 2025. There is something you should know about a family. A true family that is united. The devil, the enemy, both inner and external, may not have serious, strong influence over them. Because why? They are what? They are together. But a family that is scattered, a family that is not united, only one eye opened by the enemy can finish the family. But when the family is together in accord automatically, it makes the family to be what? To be united. Let's go for the introduction. Praise God. I say praise God. If you're happy, appreciate God by clapping your hands. So from the introduction, let's read Ephesians chapter 5. Open your scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 20. Let's start from verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, my emphasis. That he might present it to himself. A what? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So what is the character of this family? What character does Christ expect this family to exhibit? He expects this family to exhibit two characters, or three characters, or four characters, if I'm to say. One, he doesn't want this family to have spots. He doesn't want this family to have wrinkle. He doesn't want this family to live unholy life. And he doesn't want this family to have blemish. So these are the four things Christ mentioned from that scripture. I repeat what I said before. It is true that we are in an atmosphere that is restored. But there is a need for us to look into ourselves as Christians, even as we're approaching 2025. Those things that makes us not to match with the restored church. Christ wants you and I to do what? To look into it so that we can change from it. Praise God. I say praise God. Now, these characters I'm looking at something from Proverbs. Let's read Proverbs chapter 6. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 6, that is where I'm taking my character from. From verse 16. It said, these things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. There are six things that have become a problem to brothers, that have become a problem to sisters. But the Bible says among these six things, the seventh one is abominable to him. Now let's take the character one after the other. The first thing there is what? What is the first thing there? A proud look. A proud look. You may ask me, brother, what does a proud look have to do with us? But I want you to know, and I want you to have it at the back of your mind, that there are things that makes you and I to be imperfect. Most of things we do that bring problems to the body of Christ are seen in this scripture we just read, Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 16. Now, what is a proud look? A proud look has to do with what? Self-worth, self-exaltation, self-arrogance. It has to do with what? With you esteeming yourself. You can get it from the screen. You esteeming yourself more than what? Others. Placing yourself higher than others. But I want you to have it at the back of your mind that the dangerous aspect of this proud look is the young generation coming. The young generation may not have what it takes. But you and I that have what it takes, we are expected never to exhibit this spirit of pride. There are people that there is a way you will approach them. There is a way you will talk to them. When they get home, the next thing they will do, they will start crying. Why are they crying? They are crying because of the manner or the way in which you approach them. And I also discovered that people are proud because of what they possess. You are proud, you exhibit pride because of what you have. You exhibit pride because of your new car. You exhibit pride because of the clothes you have. You exhibit pride because you are too handsome, you are too beautiful. But let me ask you a question. Is there anything any man has on earth that is not given to him by God? The Bible says he is he who causes us to do what? To make what? To make wealth. It is by his grace, it is by his power that we are in the level we are. No man on earth takes himself to the level he is by his own strength. The Bible says, it's not he that willeth, nor he that runneth, but it's the Lord that showeth mercy. We are living and existing by the mercy of God. So in coming 2025, God does not want any member of this family to exhibit such character. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. There is a man in the Bible called Nebuchadnezzar. That man gave him a revelation. What was the revelation? Then Nebuchadnezzar saw something in a dream. And when he saw it, he was bothered because the interpretation was not given to him. Then what happened? The Bible made us to understand that he was looking for someone that would interpret the dream for him. So when Daniel showed up, when Daniel interpreted the dream for him, while Daniel was still interpreting, telling him that this kingdom is going to be brought down, what was the response of Nebuchadnezzar? Instead of Nebuchadnezzar to humble himself, what did he say? He said, who is that God who wants to destroy what I have built with my might? God hates pride. Who is that God? The Bible says, why the works in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. The Bible says, why the works were still in his mouth, God was provoked. And instantly, he turned to animal and he ran into the bush and remained inside the bush for how many years? For 7 good years. Don't allow God to use problem to humble you. Praise God. And the Bible says that he made a statement. He said, now I know that there is a God that sits in heaven that ruleth in the affairs of men. Why are you proud? Why are you proud? Time will fail me to go further. Another character we see among brethren that makes you and I to be an imperfect church is what you call a lying tongue. A lying tongue. See a brother and a sister lying to each other. What is lying tongue? It is an act of speaking what? Falsehood. It is an act of saying something that is deceitful. It is an act of saying something that is not true. And in this family, we aspire to go higher. God does not expect us to exhibit such character. Lying began from who?
It began from the devil in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible made us to understand that what? That the serpent came to Eve and told Eve, have you been told that you should not eat of this? He said, yes. He said, don't mind God. That God knows that the day you will eat it, your eyes will open and you know good, you know evil. Instead of the woman to stand firm to the word, what happened? The Bible says, she went forth and ate. Hallelujah. That was where lying began. IT, give me John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. What did he say? He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was what? A murderer. From where? From the beginning. And abode not in where? In the truth. Because there is no what? There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his what? Of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So what is the language of devil? What is the language of devil? What is the nature of devil? So why are we lying among ourselves? Do you know that a brother can lie to protect his office? A brother that knows that he has done something wrong, he's been summoned. A sister is being summoned. Brother, sister, why do you do this? When that sister remembers that there is something he's gaining in his office, you can do everything to cover it. You can hide it from God, but you can hide it from man, but you cannot hide it from God. Hallelujah. And I noticed that why people lie, we see it. IT, give me Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. See why people lie. What did he say? He said what? I say, and what? And fear not them. Which what? Which can kill the body. You are not reading with me. But are not able to kill what? To kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. People lie because of fear. That is one of the reasons. Why do you do that? Before you know, fear will grip you. Once that fear grip you, you begin to lie to your brother, you begin to lie to your sister, you begin to tell your sister what you know that is not true, and God hates it. How do I know? In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus is the way. Am I right? He is not only the way, but he's what? He is the truth, life. Am I correct? So what is the fundamental character of God? The fundamental character of God is what? Is truth. And that is why God hates it. Oh, time will fail me to go further. Let's look at another character. What's another character? In that same Proverbs chapter 6. Shedding of what? Shout it now. We are learning together. Shedding of what? Shedding of what? Innocent blood. What does it mean to shed innocent blood? To shed innocent blood is to murder, is to kill, is to exhibit injustice. Someone that does not deserve to die. It is an act of killing someone that does not deserve to die. You may say to yourself, this one does not concern you. But have you watched your words? That is why in my notes, I said that people that believe that their works are powerful, they trade with what? With carefulness. You can kill somebody with your words. Am I correct? You can kill someone with what you say. I know of a brother, a relative, that went for an introduction. He went for introduction. And in that introduction, after the introduction and everything, when they came back to the Lagos, the young lady told the young man, I'm not going to marry you again. Now tell me, if that young man decided to go to work, while he was going to work, he was just thinking about the whole thing because he so much loved the woman. He's just thinking about the whole thing. And the process of thinking the whole thing, he was knocked down by a vehicle while he was going on the way. Now tell me, who killed that young man? Is it the driver or the lady? You are not talking to me. It's the lady. So why will you do such? Why will you engage yourself in that shedding of innocent blood? Why will you engage yourself in things that you know that will lead to someone's death? When you read the book of Genesis chapter 4, the Bible made us to understand that when Cain discovered, listen and listen carefully, when Cain discovered that his sacrifice was not accepted, many people go to this extent for their own selfish gain. When he noted that his sacrifice was not accepted, what did he do? The Bible made us to understand that what? That he called his brother. He said, brother, come, let's go to the field. And there in the field, what happened? He killed that innocent man. There are so many pastors, when they see that you are saying the truth, they can go to any length to assassinate you. They can go to any length to make sure, either physically or spiritually, to bring you down. Children of God, anything at all that you know that will lead to such, please run away from it. Praise God. Another thing we see there. What's the next thing there? You are reading the scripture, Proverbs chapter 6. After the shedding of innocent, what's the next thing there? The heart that devises what? Wicked. Talk to me now. I can't hear you. Please, give him my. What's the next thing there?
Feet that be swift in running to mischief.
Mischief, praise God. Feet that is running to mischief. Remember, we are in a family talk. And in this family talk, and in coming 2025, God is expecting you and I never to have feet. When we say feet, we are looking at the legs. Legs that are what? That is swift. So swift means quick. He is quick to run to evil. And the worst part of this thing I'm teaching, I'm not teaching something that happened in your office. Oh. I'm not teaching something that happened outside. Oh. I am teaching something that happened in this family. And if you are listening to me, you are the type that is very quick to run to. You know, there are people that they are not comfortable to hear good news. The only thing they are comfortable to hear is bad news. And once they hear the bad news, the next thing they do, they run quickly to what? To execute it, either to execute it or to carry it as rumor. God hates it. I think, give me Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16. Proverbs 1:16. He said, for their feet run to evil and make haste to do what? Okay, to shed blood. Their feet are run to evil. They have a feet that what? That is always want to run to evil. I was reading a story in Facebook. In that story, the capture of the story is breaking news. As they stated breaking news, so they said a bus that left Lagos State traveling to Calabar with pregnant women and with children. If you are reading that story, please give somebody, what do you think will be the end of that story? Can anybody have an idea? Breaking news, okay? A bus left Lagos State. As the bus left Lagos State with pregnant women and they are traveling to Calabar, as you are reading that story, what do you think that will be the end of that? That will be the end of the story. Anybody has an idea? Eh? Oh, talk to me. Eh? Brother, give somebody a mic, please. What will happen? What is
it? It must be an unpleasant story.
Unpleasant story. Sorry. But let me quickly tell you, it was not unpleasant story. What was the story? That as they travel from Lagos down to, they arrive, the end of the story, that they arrive safely. In my heart, I said, this was not what I was expecting. Praise God. So that is how we are what? How we are natured. Humanly, we are natured in that way. Humanly, we are wired in that way. That is why you need the Holy Ghost. That is why you need the Spirit of God. And when that Spirit of God comes, what happens? Those natural things, those things of the nature, that is what the Spirit of Christ is coming to deal with. You think you can stop running, your leg can stop running to evil. Your leg can stop running to mischief. Your leg cannot stop. Because why? Because that is what is in you. Praise God. I say praise God. I have a note that said, we are what? We are sweet to mischief. Because we are carnal. I see, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. We are running to mischief because we are carnal. He said, for ye are yet carnal. For when as there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So there are way men walk. There are way children of God walk. I don't have time. Let's go to the next point. What's the next one? Heart that what? That devises wicked. Heart that devises wicked. Take note of these three. That is my most emphasis. Heart that devises wicked imaginations among brethren. And secondly, bearing false witness and sowing seed of discord. Listen and listen carefully, because these three things, you need to do away with it. I need to do away with it before 2025. Hearts that the what? That devises wicked imagination. What wrongs in your heart? What wrongs in my heart? There is a man in the Bible called Haman. The Bible said that Mordecai refused to bow for Haman. And the Bible said because of that, in Esther chapter 3 verse 6, the Bible said that Haman did what? He gave a thought. Please give me that. Esther chapter 3 verse 6. Let me read it. Esther 3 6. He said, and the thoughts, that is my emphasis. And the thoughts did what? And scorned to lay hands on Mordecai. Why was that thought? Because Haman simply refused. There are Christians, what wrongs in their hearts is evil thoughts against their brother. And you say you are restored? No, you are not restored. I'm not restored. I was in a dream. Let me put it in that way. In that dream, no, my name is associated to USA. My name is associated to, USA is my dream country. If you ask me now, which country would you love to travel to? I said, I'm going to USA. So I was in a dream. Not in a dream. So let me put it in this way. Now, it happens that I traveled to village. And when I got to village, I received a call from somebody from Lagos. He said, brother, can you come back to Lagos? I said, why do you want me to come back to Lagos? He said, because I have something very important. I said, please, I don't want to go through stress 6 hours in coming down to Lagos. Send me money for flying ticket. And the brother sent the money. I bought the ticket, I arrived to Lagos. And when I arrived to Lagos, the brother asked me, would you love to travel to USA? I said, yes, why wouldn't I? I would love to travel to USA. Nothing stopped me from that. And he went further to ask me. And okay, he just did everything. Within a week, he finished up the paper. So as I'm speaking to you now, I was just not seeing in my heart that in a month time, I should be out of Lagos. I should be out of Nigeria. I should have Japa. So immediately, my wife tapped me. Do you understand? My wife did what? Tapped me. He said, brother, what are you thinking? It's time to go to work. Hi. I look up. I look down. That was when I knew that it was a thought. I look up. I'm not a type. See, I married her for years now. I never raised hand on her to slap her. I look at this woman. I said, what will I do? The more I look at her, the more I'm being provoked. Then I decided to look down. So while I look down, it was boldly written, you are born in Nigeria. Now I said, no, I will not look down again. I look up. As I look up, it was written up there, don't worry, Nigeria will favor you. Praise God. I say, praise God. Now, what am I trying to say from here? I'm trying to make it understand that the hearts, give me Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Quickly, Matthew 15, 19. What did he say? He said, for out of the abundance proceed what? He said, out of the what? Of the hearts proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So all these things begin from the heart. Brother, what is your heart like towards your brother? If we decided to start carrying surgery in people's hearts that are seated here right now, and people that are watching me online, I will tell you, some people's hearts are like stone against their brother. And you say I'm your brother, and you say we belong to the same family. Abba, no. It ought not to be in that way. It ought not to be like that. If truly you call me your brother, if truly I call you my brother, automatically I should have a free heart in what? In relating with you. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. What did he say? He said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That is why you must be born again. You cannot do away with it. It is a natural thing. That is why you must aspire to be born again. Because man, everybody, we are wired in that way. We are wired in that manner. It is the nature that the devil has input in us. But glory be to God that he sent his only begotten son. And that son that has come, he has come so that our heart can be renewed. So that our heart can be transformed. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. What did he say? Give me verse 2. Romans 2 verse 2. Romans 12 2. He said, and what? And be not conformed to this world, but be what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way our thoughts can be changed is that we need to go through a process. And what is that process? The process of our heart being transformed. The process of our heart being renewed. And the only thing that can transform and renew our heart is what we see. Psalm 119 verse 11. What did he say? Psalm 119 verse 11. He said what? He said, thy word have I hid in. Have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. It is through that word in your heart that your heart can be purified. Apostle Paul was in that state. He said, oh, wretched man like am I. He said, there are things I'm supposed to do good, but I see myself doing evil. He said, oh, wretched. He said, who can deliver me from this bondage? He said, glory be to God. Glory to God who has sent his only begotten son to deliver me from this bondage. As we're approaching the year 2025, if you know you are listening to me, you are the type that have evil imagination. And listen, this thing does not benefit. If you think you can use your evil imagination to bring a brother down, to bring a sister down, the way up is up, the way down. Oh, you are not talking. The way up is what? The way down is what? Is down. If you think that you want to rise by bringing a brother down, automatically you, one day, you will go down. Go and read what happened to Haman and Mordecai. Haman was so surprised when he discovered that the only thing that was in the heart of King Ahasuerus was to reward Mordecai. And Haman thought that he was the one that was about to receive the reward. And he was highly disappointed. Let's go to the next point. What is the next point? Second to the last. What's the next point? A false witness that what? That speaks lie. A false witness. What is false witness? It is an act. It is a process of what? Of saying something that is not true. There are brothers, there are sisters that bear false witness against their brother. You call me your brother. Wait till you know, say, not be him. He they talk him. You know, say, wait till they talk, na lie. You see, they talk him. Do you know why I'm standing like this? Time shall come, bride assembly, when a witch enter. You know what will happen? As they enter the church, the fire will be too much. And as the fire will be too much for the witch or for the wizard, the next thing you will hear him say, I am your own. I am your own. Oh, till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own. He will enter another song and say, I cannot do it on my own. Unless you take over. He will enter the last song that says, when Jesus comes, The tenter power is broken. When Jesus comes, oh yes, I will bow away. It is a gloom and fill the earth with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Because the fire was too much in the house. And when all these characters are among us, I will tell you, the fire will die. When the Bible says, lift up the holy hands, you are lifting up the holy hands when you are spreading bad rumor against your brother. That is not a holy hand. That is an unholy hand. And when unholy hands join unholy hands, what happens? Fire die. Fire die. The people that are revelated will understand where I'm going to. Praise God. I have a note that says what? A believer that knows that the truth is the what? Is the fundamental character of God does not bear false witness. The fundamental character of God is truth. There are people that secretly go to pastor. They will go to Pastor Lumide and tell Pastor Lumide, see, that brother, if you see what that brother they talk about you, if you see what that brother they talk about you, and if it happened that Pastor Lumide is the kind of person that does not have a designing spirit, or is the kind of person that wrong with such attitude, what happens? Immediately, he will become angry with the brother. And the brother that is telling Pastor Lumide that knows that what he's saying is not true. You are bearing false witness. And the Bible says God hates it. God hates it. Praise God. As we go to the last. Why, Randolph? As we go to the last. The Bible says, the last one is what? Sowing the seed of discord among brethren. Sowing the seed of discord among brethren. To sow seed of discord, the Bible says, is the seventh one. It means to create division. It means to create disunity among brethren. Give me Psalm 113 verse 1. Psalm 113 verse 1. Psalm 113 verse 1. Quickly, we are running off. He said, praise the Lord. Psalm 113 verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the old servant of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give me verse. Let me see what verse 3 says. Okay, please. That is not the scripture I'm looking for. Praise God. Now, the scripture I'm looking for, the Bible says, how pleasant, how good, how great it is. That brethren do it what? Do it together. Okay, Psalm 113. Okay, IT, give us. Psalm 133, verse 1. Yes, thank you. IT, quickly. He said, behold, thank you, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to do it together in unity. Brother, the only way this battle can be fought, because once you come to the fold of God, once you come in into the body of Christ, you have come into a battle. But that battle cannot conquer you. You are victorious even from the starting of the battle to the end of the battle. The only way we can stand firm in this body, in this mission that we are commissioned, is when we are living together as brothers and sisters. Why are you sowing seed of discord? You see a brother and a sister, a brother and a brother, or a family that are united, that are together. You are sowing seed of discord. As I round off, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Remember that Christ, he said what? He said that he might present it to himself. So Christ has come, and the purpose why he came is to die on the cross. And he came to die for the church. And that church that he came to die for is coming back again to rapture that church. And that church is coming to rapture. It is not a church. It is not you. It is not I that have spots and wrinkle. Christ is not coming to die for a church that brothers and brothers are sowing seed of discord. Christ is not coming to die for a church that brothers and brothers are bearing false witness. Christ is not coming to die for a church that brothers and brothers are lying to each other. Christ is not coming to die for a church that brothers and brothers are having lying tongue and shedding innocent blood. But rather, he's coming to die for a church that has purified himself. He's coming to die for a church that is clean from all these things among brethren. How can there be fire among us? How can there be fire? How can the fire of God fall to a bride assembly in 2025? All begins on the character we exhibit among ourselves. All begins with the character we exhibit among ourselves. As I ran down, you need to ask yourself, I need to ask myself, which of these am I faulty? Which of these am I exhibiting? Just give me 2 minutes. Praise God. I want to demonstrate something. Thank you. I want to demonstrate something. Look at me. Now you can see, apart from this tie I'm putting on, praise God. Apart from this tie I'm putting on, this is how we are. Praise God. I say praise God. Just give me 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Christ is coming to, he's not coming to rapture any church. He's coming to rapture a church that is cleansed from all unrighteousness. I want to remove these ties. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Now you can see me. Check the white I'm putting on. Are you seeing any spots? Forget the shoe. Let me remove the shoe. What do you see? What do you see? Ask your neighbor, where are you faulty? What kind of brothers are we here? This is the kind of brother God expects us to be. He expects us to what? Not to have spots. He expects us to be clean. To be clean. Brother Benga, do me a favor. Now look at what Brother Benga is going to do. Some of us are staying. Coming 2025, there's a need for us to be free. There's a need for us to be free. Don't bear false witness. Don't bear false witness. Don't have evil mind against your brother. If we do this, when we gather any day, fire will fall. Now do something for me. Do it here. Now you can see. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? Some of you are staying. Yes, you come to church. Yes, I come to church. But the clothes I'm putting on has been staying. And Christ is not coming for you. He's coming for a church that is without spots and wrinkle. Yes, anointing may fall. Anointing may fall. Power may fall. Things may happen. But in your heart, what happens? What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian am I? Bow down your head.
Purify me like a dove.
What kind of Christian are you?
To say my worthy is your sanctuary.
My worthy is in Jesus' name.